Well, I want to invite you to grab your copy of God's Word this morning, whether that is a Bible that you brought or one in a seat close by, or you can pull it up on your phone. It'll be on the screen this morning as well. Join me in Matthew chapter 28. Matthew is the first book in the New Testament. It's the last chapter in the book of Matthew. We'll look this morning at verses 1 through 10 in a message entitled, When Fear Met Joy. I grew up a Braves fan. I loved, as Pastor Scott does, the Atlanta Braves. And I had a favorite player growing up, and it was Chipper Jones, the Hall of Famer. And when I was just becoming a teenager, my parents took me and a friend to a game. And I had a dream that I would have the opportunity to meet Chipper Jones. And so we were down close to the dugout. It was batting practice right before the game was getting ready to start. And there Chipper came out of the dugout. And he began running down to the outfield. And church, it was my moment. With baseball and pen in hand, I yelled, Chipper! And he turned. And he came over to the fence. And he grabbed the baseball. And he signed it. And in that moment, my world changed. But also, in that moment, 2,000 people converged to my location. And I turned and realized there's no way I can move. And Chipper said, hey, just hang right here with me. Let's talk baseball. And I thought, this must be what heaven is like. In that moment, I was starstruck. I could not believe what was in front of me. And for me, that was a memorable moment in my life. This morning, I want us to look at another time when two ladies saw not someone like Chipper, but they actually saw Jesus who had been risen from the dead. To say they were starstruck, to say they were amazed would be an understatement. So look with me at Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. I want to read the text for us this morning. As we do each week at North River, we'll walk back through it together. This is God's word. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee, and there you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Father, we ask this morning that you would open our eyes that we would be able to see. That you would open our ears that we would be able to hear. And that you would open our hearts and our minds that we would be ready to respond to your word and to your spirit. We ask all of that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. If you're taking notes this morning, I would encourage you to write down this main idea. It'll frame our time together in these verses in Matthew chapter 28. It's this truth: the resurrection of Jesus is a reality, which means we can walk through life filled with joy. You may have come in this morning noticing the balloons on stage. Why balloons? Because, church, this is a celebration. Jesus Christ is alive. And that reality means we should be filled with joy. But here's what you know, and here's what I know. Too often, our joy is tied to our circumstances. Our joy is tied to our feelings in the moment. Our joy is tied to the unknown that we see in front of us. Our joy is often tied to the chaos that we see around us. And instead of joy, oftentimes we operate from a perspective of fear. Fear of the unknown, fear of what may come, fear of the world in which we live. And yet this morning, I want us to leave here filled with joy. You may be here this morning, and for you, you're not yet a follower of Jesus. And after you hear this message, as you hear Matthew's gospel account of the resurrection of Jesus, my prayer has been that you would reorient your life around the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That you would see very clearly this morning that Jesus, the very Son of God, came to this earth for one reason, and he told us what that reason was. He came not to be served, but to serve and to lay his life down as a ransom for many. That is, Jesus came for the specific mission of laying his life down to forgive you of your sins. So that if you will repent, God's word tells us, that is, turn from the way in which you are walking now, and you will turn to Jesus, trusting in him as your Savior, your sins can be forgiven. You can be brought into the family of God, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ secures salvation for you. Reorient your life around the truth of Jesus's resurrection. But maybe you're here this morning and you're already a follower of Jesus. And yet, if you're honest this morning, you are struggling. There is fear that is gripping your heart as you look around you. Maybe it's something that's coming up in your life that you know a medical test is coming, a meeting with a doctor. It's a bit uncertain in your life right now about your job or what may happen to your marriage, and you're operating from a perspective of fear today. And can I encourage you to recalibrate your life around the resurrection of Jesus? Let that tune your heart to, regardless of the circumstances you find yourself in this morning, you experience the joy that the resurrection of Jesus brings. Look with me at Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verses 1 through 4, as we consider the day that fear met joy. It begins with an alarming discovery. Look with me at verse 1. Matthew tells us, "Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And we find out in chapter 27, Matthew tells us that these two ladies were present. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to Jerusalem, and they were there when Jesus was crucified. They saw him die there on the cross. They saw his body taken down. They saw Joseph of Arimathea take him to the tomb. They were witnesses of Jesus's crucifixion, of his death. And in this moment, they are going to the tomb where they knew Jesus had been placed. They were going there, the other gospels tell us, to anoint, hopefully, his body with spices, to pay respects in this moment. That's the reason that they were traveling. But notice there's a problem, and it's a good problem that happens beginning in verse 2. Behold, there was a great earthquake, Matthew tells us, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. See, here's what you have to understand. After Jesus died, after his body was placed in a borrowed tomb, the religious leaders of Jesus' day, who had taken part in falsely accusing him and had taken part in his crucifixion, they knew that Jesus had made some claims, that he would rise from the dead on the third day. And so they hatched a plan. They said, here's what we need to do. We need to station guards at the tomb. We need to roll a great stone in front of the entrance. We need to make sure that his disciples don't sneak in at some point and take his body and pretend as if he had risen from the dead. And so that's exactly what they did. And here's the problem. You cannot stop God at work, because God sent an angel to roll back the stone. Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and the guards, whose sole mission was to protect the tomb from being opened, guess what? Matthew tells us they were like dead men on the ground. And think about this. This is the scene that these ladies come upon. Have you ever been absolutely terrified at some point in your life? I grew up in South Georgia, the redneck capital of the world. I grew up hunting, grew up fishing. And South Georgia blends into North Florida. You know people from there, right? But I had a good friend, and he said, listen, he said, I have a cousin, and he likes to go hunt raccoons. He's got dogs. And so let's go hunt with him one night. And so we took off to the sticks of South Georgia, and we load up in the truck. The dogs are in the back, and we start off down the dirt road with a bridge up ahead, and all of a sudden, two raccoons cross the road. And his cousin slams on brakes, pulls off the side of the road, lets the dogs out. The dogs begin to work. And all of a sudden, they have treed a raccoon. We take off running into the woods. There's three of us. Here's the problem. Only one of us had a flashlight running into the woods. And it wasn't me, and it wasn't my friend. So we get to the base of the tree where the dogs have the raccoon treed, and his cousin pulls out a gun and shoots the raccoon out of the tree. And it lands at the base of the tree. And the dog's job at that point is done. They move to the next raccoon. And guess who else follows them? The cousin with the flashlight. And here's what my friend and I realized really quickly. That raccoon was not dead. And it was pitch black dark. And I said to my friend, we're probably going to die out here tonight. Raccoons hissing, and I'm thinking, this is not going to turn out well. We all survived, except for the raccoon. But I was terrified in that moment. And imagine these ladies coming upon this scene. It was an alarming discovery. But not only was it an alarming discovery, but if you'll look with me in verses 5 through verse 7, the ladies, after coming upon this alarming scene, heard an astounding declaration. Listen to what they hear. Verse 5. But the angel, that is the angel that rolled the stone away, the angel that is sitting on the stone, said to the women, do not be afraid. You ever heard advice that really wasn't helpful in the moment? Like, really? At this point in time, you have to know they are absolutely terrified. I don't know if you ever experienced this as a kid growing up, but you get in trouble for something and you're crying a little bit and your parent turns around and says, hush it up or I'll give you something to cry about. That's not super helpful in the moment, is it? And neither was this statement. And yet, that's exactly what the angel said. And notice how he follows it up. For I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. I know why you're here. You're here to see the dead body of Jesus, to anoint him with spices. I know that is why you came. Here is the problem, the good problem. Verse 6, the angel says, he is not here, for he has risen, watch this, as he said. In fact, the angel in this moment says to these ladies, I don't know why you're scared. I don't know why you're terrified. I don't know why you're coming upon this scene and you're alarmed in this moment, because Jesus has done exactly what he promised he would do. He's not here. He has risen. Notice in verse 7, he says to them, go quickly. After he's invited them to see the place where Jesus' body was and is no longer there, go, tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee, and there you will see him. See, I have told you. Have you ever received news so exciting that you could not wait to share it with someone else? Back before this building was a reality, when North River Church met down the road at Williams Elementary School for a 10-year period of time, we had begun construction on this building in January of 2020. But earlier than that, back in the summer before, we had filed some paperwork with an organization for a grant to help us build this building. And we were simply waiting on the news whether or not we received the grant. You say, well, was it a big grant? It was $1 million. That's a big grant. But we didn't know. We didn't know if we would receive the grant. We had no idea what was going on until a Tuesday morning in February of 2020. I got an email from the organization that said, congratulations. We are happy to report that you are receiving the grant for $1 million to construct this facility that we sit in. I didn't believe it. I had to reread it. And then I yelled across the office to Pastor Scott. I said, Scott, get in here. You're not going to believe this. And I shared the news with him. And I made a few other phone calls. And then, here's the problem. I knew I had to keep it secret until Sunday. And I'm telling you, church, it was boiling within. And then Sunday came. And I got to share with our church family in that moment about God's provision that made this a reality. Imagine the excitement that these ladies felt hearing that Jesus had risen. And it's their mission, their job, the angel says, to go and to tell his disciples and to let them know that he's going to meet them again. So I want you to see what happens. Beginning in verse 8, not only did these ladies make an alarming discovery and hear an astounding declaration, but they saw an amazing demonstration of the reality that Jesus was risen. Notice verse 8. So they departed quickly from the tomb. Notice, with fear and great joy. I want to encourage you, underline that in your copy of God's Word. Fear and great joy. We can understand that, right? Fear, what in the world has just happened? Joy, look what just happened. They ran to tell his disciples. Verse 9, and behold, Jesus met them. Picture this in your mind. All that they've just seen, all that they have just heard, and all of a sudden, as they are running to tell the disciples about the resurrection, Jesus meets them there. And notice, Jesus said, greetings. And they came up, and they took hold of his feet, and they worshiped him. This was the right response in the moment, recognizing that the risen Savior was before them. They fell on their knees before him at his feet, and they worshiped him. But don't miss this. Verse 10. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. What did Matthew tell us they were as they were running from the tomb to tell the disciples? They were filled with fear and great joy. And Jesus says to them, hey, you can do away with the fear and you can live in great joy. Because I am alive. In fact, the reigning response in light of the resurrection of Jesus is joy. So let me ask you this. What are you most afraid of in life? What is it for you that you are most afraid of today? Is it death? Is it sickness? Is it the unknown? Is it the fact that we are in an election year? Uh-oh. Is it that you look at the world around us and see the chaos, and for you, if you're honest before the Lord, it elicits within you tremendous fear? Maybe you're here this morning, not a follower of Jesus, and you have thought all of your life, you know, I think I'm good enough to get to heaven. But in the back of your mind, there's a measure of fear wondering, but am I good enough? And I can tell you what God's word tells us, you are not good enough. No one is good enough to earn salvation. The fear that you are experiencing, wondering that this morning, is for you a sign that God is extending his grace to you to help you see you desperately need a relationship with Jesus Christ. The opportunity lies before you this morning by faith to trust in Jesus alone, the risen Savior, as your Lord and your Savior. But maybe you are a follower of Jesus. But if you're honest this morning, you're filled with fear. Worried about the future, worried about what may come, worried about the world in which we live, worried about the election that's coming up. Can I just encourage you this morning, recalibrate your heart and your mind around the joy of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Because regardless of what may come, Jesus Christ is alive. There is no reason to fear death because Jesus has conquered death. There's no reason to fear sin because Jesus has covered our sins by his blood. There's no reason for us to be terrified about the future because we know the risen Christ holds the future in his hand. There's no reason to be worried about what may come because we know he has promised he will come again. So for us, as followers of Jesus, may we recalibrate our hearts to the joy that comes because of the resurrection of Jesus. Would you bow your heads with me this morning as our worship team comes up? Jesus in John chapter 15, verse 11, said these words, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." In light of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, your joy this morning can be full. If you're not yet a follower of Jesus, it can be full as you reorient your life around the truth that Jesus Christ is Lord. That you respond this morning, confessing your sin and placing your faith and trust in Jesus Christ for your salvation. To reorient your life around the truth of who Jesus is and what he has done. And if that's the step you need to take this morning, this is an opportunity for you to take that step. There's no magic formula. It's a heart posture between you and the Lord this morning to simply confess that you are a sinner, that you believe Jesus died on the cross for your sins, that he rose from the dead, securing salvation for you. And this morning, you receive that gift of salvation through Jesus. If that's a step you need to take, we would love to help you take that step. Or if that's a step that you have taken this morning in response, we'd love to celebrate with you today. But maybe you're already a follower of Jesus, and yet fear has ruled the day in your heart and in your mind. And yet today, your desire is to recalibrate your life around the joy that comes through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is a moment for you to do just that in response to the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ this morning. May we experience the joy that comes from that reality. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand? Join us as we sing. If we can pray for you or help you take a step this morning, we'd love to do that. Your pastors are down front.